League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You are now listening to the Calcio Corner Podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner Podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 85th episode of the Calcio Corner Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Be sure to give me a follow on Twitter. My account is at Italiano Calcio. Check the link in my Twitter bio for all the links that you need to support and listen to my podcast. A little bit later on this episode, I will have on Gio Cozzolino. He is a big Napoli fan and works in the soccer industry. So we will have him on to talk about all things Napoli heading into next season and looking back on their Scudetto winning season. And we will start off this 85th episode of the podcast by talking about Napoli and Victor Osimhen. There continue to be rumors heavily linking Victor Osimhen with a potential move to Saudi Arabia, to the Middle East. Al Hilal are willing to offer him 40 million per season for 5 years. So that's 200 million euro offered to Victor Osimhen that he would earn over the next 5 years. Contract talks with Napoli. If he signs his new extension, his new contract with Napoli, he would earn somewhere around 7 to 8 million per season. So obviously a huge drop off in terms of what he can make if he made the move to the Middle East, to Saudi Arabia. But again, you know, one, it remains to be seen if he has any ambitions of leaving Napoli this season or even leaving Europe altogether. If he wants to go play in the Middle East and accept that big paycheck, or does he want to, one, again, stay with Napoli, try to defend the Scudetto, defend the Capocannonieri Award that he won last season, leading Serie A in goal scoring? Does he even want to leave Europe altogether, as I mentioned? So there's a lot of question marks still floating in the air, and perhaps the biggest question mark is, will Al Hilal offer De Laurentiis' 200 million euro asking price? We know De Laurentiis is not in any position where he needs to sell Victor Osimhen, where he has to sell Osimhen, where he even necessarily wants to sell Osimhen. I'm sure De Laurentiis would love to run it back with him and not totally have a lot of changes. We already know that, you know, Spalletti is gone, Kim Min-jae, some significant pieces to their Scudetto winning team last season are gone. I'm sure De Laurentiis would like to try to keep this nucleus, you know, and a lot of the core players intact and have him run it back this upcoming season. You know, again, if he is offered that 200 million, if Al Hilal, you know, the Saudi club are willing to meet those demands, and Victor Osimhen is willing to make the move and accept that big payday, it would certainly be an interesting twist, an interesting development. As I'm recording this here in you know, early mid-August, just about 10 days or so from the start of the Serie A season, Napoli actually open up on that Saturday and defend their title right off the bat. You know, it would be a significant sale to make with such a short amount of time to the season, start of the season. If I'm a Napoli fan, I would not be totally outraged if it did happen. You know, we're going to live in the world right now of hypotheticals, assuming, again, the 200 million euro is offered to Napoli. De Laurentiis accepts it. Victor Osimhen wants to accept earning 200 million euro over the next 5 years. Let's assume all that happens. If I'm a Napoli fan, I would not be totally outraged. I mean, you think about that striker position. I've mentioned it a few times on Twitter in the past couple years. It's kind of been a revolving door to some extent for Napoli, but it's always more or less worked out. I mean, just go back to Cavani, right? When Cavani left to go to PSG, so many Napoli fans thought that that was the end, but they kept bringing in guys like Higuain. Then Higuain delivered, played, you know, really good at Napoli, had that 36 goal scoring season, which is tied for the most ever in a single season in Serie A. Then he obviously went to Juventus, made that big move and that big mess of a situation for Napoli and their fans. You know, Napoli brought in guys like Duvan Zapata over the past few years. He had a pretty, you know, pretty successful tenure with Napoli. Nothing great. He was never really a big-time starter for Napoli, but he proved over his career that he was a good player and one that Napoli definitely scouted and identified correctly. Milik had some moments for Napoli. Think about, obviously, Dries Mertens. We all know what a memorable and historical career he has had with Napoli. And then even a guy now like Victor Osimhen, when he came in, when they brought him over for Lille, I don't know how many Napoli fans were totally, you know, excited about the signing of Victor Osimhen a couple years ago and knew so much about him. But obviously, he's become one of the most beloved figures in Napoli, in Naples, especially for what he did last season, scoring those 26 league goals and helping carry Napoli to that Scudetto winning season. So yes, losing Osimhen will certainly hurt. But again, we've seen Napoli time after time lose significant strikers, lose productive strikers and replace them and get pretty good production out of the next guy in line. And if, again, I would not overreact if they did sell Osimhen. I understand this close to the season, it could hurt a little bit. Certainly would sting a bit. Don't even live in the world of who would they bring in to replace Victor Osimhen. Let's not forget that on their team right now, they have two very, very capable backups, two players that could start for several Serie A teams, quite a few Serie A teams, a majority of Serie A teams, and even for a lot of teams around Europe. They would love to have Giacomo Raspadori or Giovanni Simeone as their starting striker. Napoli have both of them available to come off the bench and, you know, relieve Victor Osimhen. So the depth at that striker position that Napoli have is very good. It's very deep. And again, if they sold Osimhen, they already have capable replacements for him on his team. Think about Giovanni Simeone. The last season he started in Serie A was the 2021-22 season with Verona, a bad Verona team, albeit not a very good team. He still managed to score 17 goals on that Verona side. So here's a player who's capable of hitting well into double figures, nearly 20 goals, and he's your backup striker, right? So Napoli potentially already have their solution if they did sell Victor Osimhen on their team already. They also have Giacomo Raspadori. Now, Raspadori has never been a big-time goal scorer over his short career. His most goals that he's ever scored in a single season was that 21-20-22 season with Sassuolo. He did score 10 goals. Last season with Napoli across all competitions, he scored a combined 6. Obviously, he played a more limited role last season. He wasn't a regular starter like he was at Sassuolo when he scored those 10 goals. But again, here's a player in Raspadori that has proven he could hit double figures in Serie A. So all I'm saying is, if this massive move to the Middle East, to Saudi Arabia for Victor Osimhen does happen, even this close to the start of the season, potentially, obviously, could even linger into the start of the Serie A season because the transfer market, I don't think, ends until sometime in early September, at least in Saudi Arabia. So it could obviously linger a little longer past the start of the Serie A season. But if it does happen, of course, it would absolutely stink to lose a talent like Victor Osimhen if I'm a Napoli fan. It would stink to see him leave Serie A. He's such a delight and a pleasure to watch. But again, Napoli already have their solutions on their roster in Raspadori and Simeone. Let's not forget they still have an outstanding talent in Cavara, who was the league MVP last season. So Cavara is a guy who scored double-figure goals in his first season in Serie A. Obviously, there's a lot of intrigue to see what he's able to do in his second season. Again, the solutions are already on the roster. Napoli have kind of been building this. They've been building this depth. And then obviously there are some options out there in the transfer market still if they wanted to play in that. One player in particular that they've been heavily linked to is Jonathan David, who ironically enough replaced Osimhen at Lille when Lille sold Osimhen to Napoli. So it would kind of be ironic to see that Jonathan David could now replace him at Napoli if they wanted to go that route. He scored 24 goals last season in Ligue 1 for Lille, so obviously an outstanding production for the Canadian striker, young Canadian striker. He's 23 years old, so he's a young profile, the type of profile that Napoli likes to target. De Laurentiis likes to target these younger players, and is certainly a special talent, one that, you know, a lot of top clubs kind of had their eyes on for some time. Now, Lille's asking price, I've read and heard, could be anywhere from 50 million euro or more, which is not crazy, for a player of his caliber, his production, plus his age. Napoli have the options on their roster if they didn't even want to sign a replacement for Victor Osimhen. Now, I would assume they would bring someone in, but if they didn't want to go high profile, they have the solution already in Giovanni Simeone, who has plenty of experience in Serie A, a guy who has scored nearly 20 goals in this league. They have Raspadori, a young promising Italian forward striker that they could also use, a guy who's hit double figures as well. So the solutions are on this team already. There's still plenty of talent on this team, but there is still very good, very viable options out there in the transfer market. It's not like they've all dried up at all. And with, again, if they got 200 million euro for selling Victor Osimhen, they certainly would have that 50 million, 55 million, whatever it may take to sign Jonathan David from Lille. They certainly have it at their disposal if they wanted to bring him in. And he would be, again, a profile that I would love to see Napoli bring in to replace Osimhen. If it were up to me, I want to see Victor Osimhen return to Napoli. I want to see this Napoli team as intact as it was from last season to see just if they could, how close, or if they could run it back to winning another Scudetto this season. So I don't want to see Osimhen leave Serie A for many selfish reasons, but it would be essentially impossible for Napoli to turn down an offer of 200 million euro if they got that again, if assuming Osimhen was on board for the sale as well. Another team to obviously keep an eye out for is PSG. We know that they've been linked to Osimhen earlier in the summer. They made, I believe, a 100 million euro offer earlier this summer for Osimhen, which is obviously way too low for De Laurentiis to consider selling his star striker. Considering what's going on at PSG, the potential and imminent departure of Kylian Mbappe, rumors that Neymar would like to leave and return to Barcelona. So there could be a lot of turnover at PSG. We know they've already brought in Gonçalo Ramos from Benfica, the young Portuguese star talent. So they've already brought in some new offensive weapons. But if Mbappe were to depart PSG this summer, and let's say Neymar as well, they already lost Messi. A lot of turnover in that offensive department for PSG. A lot of money potentially available for PSG, as we know that they have those deep pockets. Maybe they could get involved and make that big offer to Napoli for Victor Osimhen. And I'm sure PSG would be much more appealing to Victor Osimhen. He'd get to stay in Europe, get to still compete in the Champions League. But there's no way, obviously, PSG could offer him that 40 million euro per year salary that Al Hilal could if he went to Saudi Arabia. But I just kind of wanted to kind of start this podcast off because it is going to be a Napoli-centric podcast to a certain extent with the guest that I have coming on next. But I just wanted to put it out there that I don't think that Napoli fans need to overreact or necessarily go into any hysteria at the thought of losing Victor Osimhen. If it happens, it's because they got a huge, fat, lump sum of money to sell him, and they could definitely reinvest that money well and bring it in potentially a guy like Jonathan David. And again, you have the options in Simeone and Raspadori already on your team. If you didn't even want to play in the transfer market in terms of who you're going to bring in to replace Osimhen, you have the solutions already on your team, and you'd have a lot of money that you could use to invest in this team, whether, again, it's this summer, maybe it's in the January Mercato when the season's going and you see maybe there's some injuries or an area of the team that you didn't think you needed to really address this summer that becomes more evident that you need to. The money would be there for Napoli at their disposal to play in the transfer market. Again, I want to see Osimhen today, but if they sell him for 200 million euro, I don't think it would be a bad option at all for Napoli. And they've proven time after time that even though that striker position has been somewhat of a revolving doors, if you think back to when they first sold Cavani, they've always done a pretty good job at bringing in a good striker and landing on their feet just well. So that's just some of my thoughts on the Victor Osimhen potential transfer to Saudi Arabia. So I'm going to have Gio Cozzolino on. He is a knowledgeable and big Napoli fan, so it'll be interesting to get his insight on all things Napoli and as we get ready for the start of the season as they look to defend their Scudetto. If you want to give him a follow on Twitter, the link to his Twitter account is in the description of this podcast, so definitely drop him a follow on Twitter and definitely stay tuned for this interview. Let me welcome in my guest on the Calcio Corner podcast, Mr. Gio Cozzolino. How are you doing today, Gio?
Hey, Raffaella. Thank you very much for having me. I'm doing well, you know. Getting back into the swing of things with the season coming around the corner. So I'm excited. Thank you again.
Definitely a lot of excitement building. And before we kind of look ahead to the upcoming season, let's take a step back. And as a lifelong Napoli fan as yourself, what was it like watching last season kind of unfold and witnessing Napoli win the Scudetto? Was there like a certain point where you said, okay, this is actually going to happen?
Yeah, honestly, I didn't want to think about it too much going into the break into the World Cup. I thought... You know, Napoli started hot before a couple seasons, especially, you know, you always, as a Napoli fan, you think back to 2017-18, and you come up a bit short. I thought after we came back, we lost to Inter to start. You know, I was like, okay, well, this is where the real test is going to be. How are they going to bounce back from here? And I think their response was massive in that regard. And I think that's when I started to believe it. But also, if you know me, like everyone at work and my friends, I'm just pessimistic, or, you know, I don't like to get my hopes up, I'll say. So, but to see that response was different. And to answer your question about just, you know, living it, and to be honest, man, like, it's still kind of surreal to me now. It's like, I'll watch videos and just think about it, like, wow, like, you actually won after 33 years. I wasn't around for the first one, but my dad saw the first two. And, you know, for him to, that's another thing, for me to watch it with him, and, you know, it was a great thing as well, because, you know, he's the reason I'm a Napoli fan to begin with. Usually a Napoli fan, it kind of just gets passed down to you,
right?
Through family. But yeah, it's I still can't really put it together into words. Just it's an insane feeling, and it does make you hungry for more. Honestly, like, it makes you want to win more and want to go get another one. But you know, I'm gonna treasure that season probably forever.
No, for sure. And you mentioned that loss to Inter right after the World Cup break had ended. It's funny how, like, so many people just off that one loss, it was their first loss of the season, that they were ready to like write off Napoli and say that they're not going to win the Scudetto. I could be wrong. I think they still maybe had like a 10-point lead. Maybe it was 7-point lead, but it was funny how quick people were just to dismiss Napoli off of one loss, but to see them respond from that and go on to win, it certainly was special. And one of the key pieces for why they won the Scudetto was Kvara. He was named the MVP of Serie A. He obviously had an amazing first season in Italy. He definitely made many contributions in many different ways. You know, it's not just about goals and assists as an offensive player to make contributions, but he did fail to score a goal and register an assist from mid-March through the end of the season. So what are your kind of expectations for Kvara heading into season number two for him? Are you concerned at all from the lack of goals and assists over those final 3.5 months of last season?
You know, that's a very fair point, I would say. And it's something you should look at. Like, as a, even if being unbiased as an Napoli fan, like, you know, obviously, I wouldn't say he carried the team, you know, when he was doing well, because obviously you have Osimhen, you have the whole team complemented each other, you know, last year. But with Kvara, I think the problem was towards the end is, you know, maybe it's a couple different variables. I think maybe a little, you know, other teams start to figure it out a little bit, and whether it was, he also, I think, had a little bit of a knock. I feel like, you know, and this could be just my suspicion, that he never like fully recovered from it. And plus the way he plays, you know, he gets physical. He takes people one-on-one. And I think that something was lingering there. But I honestly, I'm not too worried, to answer your question directly. I'm not too worried about the lack of goals and assists to finish the season. I mean, it is a big stretch, those 3 months, 3.5 months. It is a big stretch. But I still saw a productive player for the most part. There were a couple games where, you know, he really wasn't productive, or, you know, even when he was doing well, there were a couple games where he wasn't too good, but he had that big moment. I think I can remember the Milan game as one of them, where I think he had an assist, if I'm not mistaken. And it's like he wasn't doing too much, but he'll come in and do something. But even in that stretch when he wasn't playing well, he was still creating some chances. He had... another game that comes to my mind was Milan in the Champions League when we got knocked out.
Right.
And, you know, he had plenty of chances, like a plethora of chances over and over, it seemed like. And he was getting his way. Like, he was getting through. I think one of the games he didn't play that well, but the second one, I think at home, he had many chances. You know, it's always good to see that in a player still, that he's still hungry. He's still pushing to get, you know, a goal, assist, do something for the team. If it was more like, you know, he put his head down, you know, I'm not doing well, I don't care, that sort of attitude, I think I'd be worried. But another good thing for me, too, heading into the season is that, you know, I never really had a doubt that he would leave. Obviously, like, we bought him for cheap, and then everyone afterwards was like, wow, we should have, you know, bought this guy. Napoli won't be able to hold on to him for too long. And then there's, like, the random, you know, news report of, oh, Newcastle's interested, but... It's weird. Like, with Osimhen, I've been worried. Like, are we gonna? Right. Is he gonna stay? Is he not gonna stay? But with Kvaratskhelia, it's been different. I feel like he seems like a player who cares in terms of, you know, we won a Scudetto and he was a part of it, but maybe we have more to accomplish. And I could be reading it wrong. You know, as an Napoli fan, you want to think that people want to stay, but I never really had a doubt of him staying, and he's definitely gonna be a big part of it again. I think, you know, with the MVP award, it was warranted, but also, like, we can get into that between him and Osimhen. Who should really had it, but, you know, if it wasn't Osimhen, then it has to be Kvara. Like, for a first-year player to make that much of a difference in a team, and then you win a Scudetto after 33 years, and everyone's comparing you to Maradona and things like that, it's big shoes to fill, you know what I mean? So I'm not too worried. I think he'll respond and have another good season.
Yeah, and even with that lack of goals and assists those final 3.5 months, it could be perhaps attributed to stepping up in competition. Obviously, Serie A is by far the highest club competition he's been competing in, and the Champions League. So
yeah,
that could be part of it. And I definitely think, you know, little injuries could also have contributed as well, as you said. You mentioned Victor Osimhen certainly could have been named the league MVP. I don't think many people would argue if he had won it. He did win the Capocannoniere. He led Serie A in goal scoring. We know how important it is. We know that the rumors are out there, perhaps, you know, linking him to a move to Saudi Arabia, where he could get maybe 40 million euro per year. If Napoli did actually get 200 million euro, which seems to be De Laurentiis' asking price, if you were in charge, if you could make that decision and Osimhen was on board with the move, would you sell him at this point in the summer, as close as we are to the start of Serie A season, for that 200 million euro?
Oh, man, this is something like even me and my buddies just talk about it all the time, especially obviously whichever my buddies are, the Napoli fans, we're always like, you know, what are we going to do? Like, I hope he stays. Personally, of course, like, I hope he stays. I think he's a big key in terms of, do we challenge again? You know, I think if he stays, yeah. The problem is, like, I think with any player, right? I don't know how you would feel about it, but if any player, you know, if a team's actually offering you $200 million for any player, do you really not sell the player? Like, you, I think you have to sell him at that point. You know, at $200 million, you can buy, I mean, in this market, people are expensive, but you can get 3, 4, 5 great players with that amount. You know, I think the big thing as well is that I'm worried about the lack of strikers available, to be honest. And like you mentioned, a great point is the season's 9 days away from when we're recording this. Nine days away. Do you really get rid of him now and then have, you know, a lack of a market in strikers that you can go get? You know, Hoyland goes to Man U. He's off the list. Scamacca came back to the league. He just came back. He's not going to go from anywhere. So who are you going to get? You know, and I think what they're trying to do with the renewal is smart. You know, I think the renewal that the negotiations, or at least the reports that we're getting, is that they're trying to offer him upwards of like $8 to $9 million. And that's unheard of, right? For Napoli. Napoli never, ever gives players that. I think the highest we've ever given a player is like 5 and change, 5.5. And it was between, I think, or maybe 6. It was between Koulibaly and Insigne, I think. And that's, and those were, you know, pillars of the team. They were there for a long time. Osimhen's now going into his fourth season, but, you know, he merits that. You know, like, you have to give him that much money to stay. And I am waiting for a renewal. Every day I'm checking reports, like, are we going to renew this guy? And the good thing is, too, like, you know, if it's only for one more season and then they include a release clause that's over $100 million, because that's what the reports are. As a Napoli fan, I don't think you can be mad about that. You know what I mean? Like, no. we kind of messed it up a little bit. Or, you know, no one expected Kim In-jae to be so good. So the release clause being so cheap for him hurts a little bit, obviously. But if you give Osimhen one more season to try to win you another Scudetto, which, first of all, when, you know, Napoli's never done that. And for Napoli to repeat Scudetto, you know, a Scudetto back-to-back, Scudetti back-to-back is insane. So first of all, if you're able to do that, you're not even just a legend. You're above a legend in the city's eyes, right? And if you can – and they did well in the Champions League. I think if – you know, Kim is a big loss, but if they keep Osimhen and they're reinforcing the midfield with certain names we're seeing floating around, why can't they, you know, challenge again to get to a quarter or a semi? You know, and I think the only way you get there is if Osimhen stays. So I'm, you know, and if you're only paying him $9 million or so, and then someone buys him next season, you know, you're only taking that hit to pay him a lot of money for a season. Right. And then if he stays, like, hey, he stays good, because you know he's a proven striker now, and he's grown every single season he's been there. And, you know, he had a great season where he didn't have too many injuries. The past two seasons, he's been filled with injuries. He missed, I think, a month last year was his biggest stretch. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he proved to be a reliable player. And the last thing I just want to say, like, with the MVP, I think the way the awards are given out, obviously with, like, best attacker and MVP, you could kind of interchange people. So, you know, in my eyes, I would have probably given Osimhen the MVP, but you can't, you know, they don't give people two awards. So I think that's what it came down to. But he had a great season. You mentioned the Capocannoniere. He's the first African-born Capocannoniere. I think total in his 3 years, he already passed. I remember doing this stat at work as well. Like, I think he passed George Weah already for most goals by an African in the league. Wow. So, you know, he's pushing, you know, he's one of the best strikers out there. If it wasn't for Haaland, I'd say he's the best striker in the world, you know?
No doubt.
And it's just, if you get rid of him now, like, who do you replace him with? You know, that's the problem. There's younger guys. That's who I would go after. Like, maybe Jonathan David or weird name, but like Victor Boniface, that, like, he's a Nigerian as well, that Victor knows. Like, I think you would have to invest in a younger guy, because when we got Osimhen, I think he was 21 22,
yeah, something like that. Yeah,
you know, and now he's 24 pushing 25. So I think, and Napoli's, you know, their scouting is not let us down too many times. So if they pick a young player, you kind of have to trust De Laurentiis and just hope. But yeah, to summarize, you know, if they really offer $200 million, you can't blame the team for selling him for $200 million, but hopefully we keep him. And I would love for him to be the highest paid on the team, because I, you know, he carried us. He deserves it.
No, I agree. It would be, in my opinion, impossible to turn down $200 million, but I would love to see him stay. And I mentioned it earlier on this episode, Jonathan David would be the guy that I would look for them to replace him with. And I also mentioned they do still have Giovanni Simeone. I know he's not at the level of Osimhen. He's not nearly the level of Osimhen, but they do have a good striker already on hand that, you know, if they wanted to sell Osimhen, Osimhen, you already have a potential option on your bench if you're not able to bring someone in. Again, it would be a drop off, but at least you're not totally you know, left empty-handed there at that striker position.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Luciano Spalletti obviously deserves as much credit as anyone for why Napoli won that Scudetto. He's gone. They brought in Rudy Garcia to replace him. A lot of people tend to talk about the likes of Allegri being under a lot of pressure, Pioli under pressure at Milan, and rightfully so. Those coaches are definitely feeling the heat going into this season. But you could potentially argue, even though Napoli did just win a Scudetto and their fans are happy, but Rudy Garcia is replacing Spalletti, who obviously was a tough person to see go if you're a Napoli fan. Are you confident that Rudy Garcia is the right man to lead Napoli to potentially repeating a Scudetto or making another deep run in the Champions League?
Rudy Garcia, I mean, there's a couple things where it's like, you know, it's not the worst hiring, but also when it first happened, you just think about it and it's kind of out of left field because there were a couple, you know, candidates that I think they could have gone after. My dream candidate was De Zerbi, but obviously he had just gotten to Brighton, but he had been with Sassuolo, and the guy, I think the philosophy he has in terms of attacking football and the way the style he plays would have fit perfectly at Napoli, no matter what, if they kept the same formation or changed it up. You know, so that was my dream. You know, he was at the top of my wish list. And then when it was Garcia, like even with different people out there that they were looking at, I wasn't convinced, you know, and I'm still obviously, it's not that I'm not convinced, but I have to see it. It's tough to watch Napoli preseason games. Like you have to pay either Sky or like watch a stream that doesn't ever work. So like I haven't really been able to watch fully the team, unfortunately. But, you know, Rudy Garcia has Serie A experience. That's a good thing. He's coached Roma, and with those two Roma teams, I believe he had two second place finishes. I don't remember how far from first he finished with those teams. So, you know, it could, you know, just be a kind of a blank stat, like, oh, second place. But it's good, you know, and Roma hasn't won in a long time as well. So if he's finishing up there with Roma, and that means that he did pretty well. You know, he's another manager with like Spalletti. Spalletti came in, he had Russian Premier League trophies, but in terms of the league, you know, he had a couple, I think he had two Coppa Italias and then one Supercoppa, all with Roma. So it's not like Spalletti came in like, an absolute winner. He won a lot of games as a coach. I think he has like the most in modern era or whatever. Yep. But, you know, this was his first big win. Yeah, that was his first big win. And so Garcia has a French title, but, you know, he has something to prove coming to Napoli. I think it was weird how he had left Al Nassr. Like, I'm not sure if that's because, you know, he thought months later he would get an opening in Europe again. But we'll see. I think the interesting thing with Garcia is seeing what formation he's going to play, because from this friendly so far, I had seen a bit of a 4-3-3, but I've also seen a 4-2-3-1. Yep. And I believe that's kind of his signature. And that's going to be interesting for Napoli, because you can keep Kvaratskhelia and whoever's on the right, whether it's Lozano or Politano, out wide. But that there's going to be someone behind the striker, and that's going to be interesting because I think he's been using Raspadori that way. Mm-hmm. And I think Raspadori flourishes in that role. I don't think he's a winger. We used him last year a bit of as a winger that would come in. Not sure that was his best role. You know, he had some big moments for us too. So it'll be interesting. It really will be, especially depending on, you know, if Zielinski leaves, are we going to get Vega to replace him? Where would he play in the midfield? You still have, obviously, your two in front of the defense between Anguissa and Lobarka. So it's interesting. It's really going to be something to see. I don't know if I can say I'm fully convinced, but it's not the worst hiring, because you get someone who's experienced in the league. At least they're not unfamiliar. You know what I mean? Like, they have the potential to just tap back into that. But time will tell. Time told, you know, with Spalletti, the first season we made progress from when we had Gattuso, and then he won the Scudetto. So we'll see what Garcia can do.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Like, I don't see Rudy Garcia as like this big, exciting hiring for Napoli fans. It's kind of, perhaps I would label it more as like a safe hiring. Someone like De Zerbi, as you mentioned, that would have been like a really intriguing hire. Like, could have been a bit riskier perhaps, but if the potential is there with his offensive philosophy and the weapons that Napoli had, it could have been really like a perfect match. But, you know, I guess we'll have to live with Rudy Garcia, see what he does. And again, you know, as you mentioned a little before, with in terms of the transfer market, De Laurentiis's record seems to speak for itself. He tends to bring in the right pieces more times than not. So perhaps Rudy Garcia is going to do a good job at Napoli. We mentioned some of the turnover at the club. You mentioned Kim Min-jae leaving, obviously the coaching change. The Osimhen rumors are still out there. Do you think Napoli have enough pieces returning that they could win the Scudetto? And are there certain players that you would like to still see them bring in before the end of the transfer market to really reinforce this team?
Yeah, I love this question. It's always cool during the off season. You know, the transfer talk is always obviously the most exciting thing, but right. It's not always exciting when you lose your best player, so it gets you worried. But I really do think that they can contend again if they keep Osimhen. I mentioned before, but if you lose Osimhen, and you made a great point again, like Simeone is there,
right.
And he has experience. He can get you 15 goals if he's your starter, or if you bring someone else in. So, you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing. And Napoli's usually made people, you know, made players work out depending who comes in. But mm-hmm. I think Osimhen is just too good, man. Like, you need to keep him. And if Osimhen is still with you, you can challenge for the league again. The big concern or the big question for me is that back line now, because Kim was an absolute monster. Like, yeah. You know, Rahmani, I think, is good, but I think he's made better by his partner. He had Koulibaly for a couple of years, and then you go to Kim, who literally can make up ground for anybody in terms of speed and even pushing the ball up. It was insane. No one knew he was going to be that good. I remember when we got him from Fenerbahce, I was like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be good just from seeing highlights, but you can't judge off YouTube.
No, yeah.
So bringing in Nathan, the Brazilian kid, you know, that's definitely going to be something intriguing. He's not someone who's played in Europe, and it seems like, you know, everyone's saying he has raw potential, but you don't know if that'll translate. But and that's another thing too, is a lot of people, and myself included, this is, you know, full transparency. I was saying, like, I don't think this is the right signing, this and that. But for Napoli to sign someone out of the blue, kind of like, because we heard about him and then mm-hmm. they signed him the next day. You know, and that means to me that they had their eye on this guy. You know, it means that they were scouting him and they knew that this was a replacement for someone who was probably the best defender in the world last year, one mm-hmm. of the top two or three. So for them to say that, then I have to trust ADL, because he's proven us wrong when we doubt him plenty of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's still other concerns. You know, Zielinski might be leaving to Saudi Arabia, and, you know, he's been there for many years as well. So as a Napoli fan, it's sad. You know, it kind of breaks my heart to see him go, because we could have renewed him. But hey, if he can make more money in Saudi Arabia and we replace him correctly, you know, substantially, then I'm fine with it. You know, and especially because he's on the last year of his contract. If we can get 25 million, which yeah. they're saying, that's great business, you know, yeah, as a 30-year-old, 25 million on an expiring deal. And then the names that they're talking about, you know, I mentioned Nathan, we don't know much about yet, but for the midfield, it's always been crucial for Napoli these past few years when they've been good. And, you know, it doesn't seem like we're losing Lobotka or Anguissa this season, so that's great. But the names that they're mentioning, and actually, too, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but out of nowhere yesterday, we signed Jens Kajust, the Swedish yeah. midfielder from the French league. I think he's playing for Rennes. So
yep.
out of nowhere, you know, and that's another thing that's kind of cool with Napoli is, all these other teams, right, all these moves that they make are all leaked. Like, everyone has, oh, these guys are negotiating this guy for this price, this fee. And then Napoli comes out of nowhere, and they're like, yeah, Kajus is in Rome for medicals. And it's like, what? How? You know, how do they keep this stuff
yeah.
sealed? And he seems like a good player that can be a defensive mid or a box-to-box. Just, I think it's an Anguissa backup, and he's young. He's 23 or 24. And then they're talking about, last name I'll mention, Gabri Vega. Like, Vega from Celta Vigo would be an insane signing. His clause yeah. is only 40 million. I think we're in the 30s with our offer. I'm not sure why they don't just pay the clause, but anyway.
Yeah. especially you save money on your defender. He was, what,
exactly.
like 10 million, I think?
Yeah, 10 million for nothing. Yes, amazing point. And I think, like, you know, it's all right. Napoli likes to nickel and dime it. It happens. You know, that's the philosophy. I thought it might have changed a little bit from winning the Scudetto, but no, but it's okay. If they get Vega, you know, that's a huge signing, and yeah. someone who's so versatile. And it kind of reminds me of when we had gotten Fabian Ruiz, who, you know, didn't pan out totally, but he was great that first season and we were all excited. So I think as if Napoli can get Vega to fill the Zielinski hole if he leaves, and then maybe depending on who leaves, because it seems like Lozano was on his way out and then it kind of cooled off.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get, I think, a right winger and then a midfielder or two, but one of those being Vega, and they keep Osimhen, like, those, I know that's a lot, but if you have those pieces, there's absolutely no reason why Napoli can't win again, you know, and that's just how I see it. And I don't know if we're the favorites right now, because I think Inter has built an amazing team.
Yeah. Yeah. Some betting sites have Inter as slight favorites.
As a slight favorite,
some a little bigger, but Napoli's certainly top two.
Yeah. And I agree with that. You know, I think Inter is slightly ahead because they, you know, they do have a good team. Samardzic is a great signing. I wanted him for Napoli. They got younger at the striker position with Thuram and, you know, Dzeko left. So We'll see what happens. But I think with the other teams, there's just a little bit too much turnover. Like, Milan has built a great team, I think, with the Tonali money. But, you know, it takes time to adapt, you know, to make, you know, when you have all those new players to actually see the product, you know. So, yeah, I think if Napoli just keeps Osimhen and gets maybe two midfielders and a right winger and doesn't lose anyone else out of the big players, then there's no reason why they can't contend again, you know. And to Champions League, I would like to see them, you know, make the knockouts again. I would never say Napoli's going to win the Champions League. It just doesn't make sense. But if we can get to another round of 16 or a quarter and win the Scudetto again, how could you say the season's a failure? You know, that's how I see it.
That would definitely be a success, no doubt about it. And if you think about even last season, Inter were the favorites to win it last season. Napoli probably like fourth or fifth according to betting odds. So yeah. You know, even if Inter are the favorites, although they, like you said, they definitely got a very good team heading into this year, there's no reason to believe that Napoli can't, you know, win it again and certainly challenge once again. I can't thank you enough, Gio, for taking the time to come on my podcast, talk about all things Napoli and more. Stay safe and definitely hope to talk to you again soon.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. As a fan, it's always great to vent a little bit, talk about your team, and you've been great as well. So thank you. Thank you, Ralph. I appreciate it. And hopefully in the future, I'll be back. So
yeah,
thank
no
you.
Doubt. No doubt. Take care, man.
All right. Now on to buy it or sell it to cover some of the storylines and rumors that have been dominating the Italian media and the world of football. Number one, buy it or sell it. Gianluca Scamacca will score 20-plus goals at Atalanta this season. I will sell this one. So in somewhat of a surprising move, Gianluca Scamacca ended up signing with Atalanta, despite being heavily linked to Roma, a club that he, you know, is in his heart that he wanted to join. And Inter, I love this signing for Atalanta. I'm really excited to see what Scamacca can do in Gasperini's system. You know, I kind of touched upon this a few episodes ago with Matteo Retegi signing with Genoa, seeing what he could do adjusting to Serie A, coming over to Italy, how that could help his growth and maturation in terms of, you know, him as a player, and how that could potentially affect his role with the Italian national team. If he can grow and become that striker that, you know, I think some of us Italy fans are hoping for, that would be a plus for the national team with Retegi. And I think the same could be said with having Scamacca come back to Italy, playing for Atalanta, playing for Gasperini, and seeing what he could do with them. Now, I know I sold this one because I do think, obviously, hitting 20-plus goal is not an easy task. That clearly is not something easy to do, especially in Serie A. But that doesn't mean I don't see Scamacca doing well, because I do see him doing well and being productive. For Atalanta, I could definitely see him scoring 15-plus goals, just not confident enough to quite go with 20-plus goals. You know, don't look at what Scamacca did last season at West Ham. There's so many factors at play as to why he didn't have the season that, you know, he wanted, that West Ham would have liked, that the West Ham fans would have liked. Obviously, switching leagues is never an easy task for a player. You know, switching, obviously, teams and systems, going to a new country, adjusting to that, a new culture, a new lifestyle. All those things, plus he had injuries. So a lot of factors at play for why Scamacca only scored 3 goals. Again, it's not what anybody, you know, involved with West Ham wanted, but that was the you know, the fact of the matter, that he only scored 3 goals. But I would not look at that and say Scamacca is a bust and this is the type of striker that Scamacca is. Go, you know, the season before that, his last season in Serie A when he was with Sassuolo, he scored 16 goals. And I believe that is more of the Scamacca that Atalanta will be getting. And, you know, perhaps, as we know, Atalanta are able to get even more out of him, something that they seem to be able to do with a lot of players that they sign. Last season, if you look at Atalanta, their top goal scorer was Lukman. He had 13. Coop Miners from the midfield scored 10 goals, obviously neither of which are strikers. So if you're getting, you know, double-figure goals from Lukman, who played on the wing, obviously he's an attacking player, so you expect him to provide more goals. He took a lot of penalties for Atalanta. But, you know, you consider Coop Miners providing 10 goals from the midfield. You kind of think about what can Scamacca do as a striker. Their next top goal scorer, their third highest goal scorer, was Rasmus Højlund. Obviously is a striker, a player with endless potential that obviously went to Manchester United. In a full season starting, Scamacca, I think he's definitely good for 15-plus goals. I could easily see him hitting that total, but I'm just not bold enough to quite say that I would buy this one and say that he would hit 20-plus goals, so I will sell this one. Number two, buy or sell it. Inter should sign Florian Balogun from Arsenal. I will buy this one. We know Inter have been searching for another striker after missing out, as I just mentioned, on Gianluca Scamacca. Obviously, you go back to the start of the summer Mercato, they wanted to bring back Romelu Lukaku, but we all know what happened there with that situation. So Inter are kind of starting to run out of options in terms of a striker that they could bring in. You hear from, you know, in the Italian media that Steven Zang, the Inter president, kind of wants to build a bit of a younger team, and one that could kind of be a sustainable project for several years and kind of build a nice young nucleus. That's kind of what Inter's been focusing on to some extent. So that's kind of why, you know, the rumors linking them to Alvaro Morata, an older player in his early 30s, I believe maybe just 30 years old, doesn't kind of fit that mold in terms of, you know, that youth movement that Steven Zang would like to see at Inter, plus Atletico Madrid not backing down from the 20 million euro release clause price that Morata has, which, yeah, I don't blame him. That's quite a bit of money to spend on Morata. So this is why I would say, you know, go out and go get yourself Balogun. He's young. He seems to be a very highly regarded player, obviously. He did score 21 goals last season in Ligue 1. So he seems to check quite a few boxes for Inter, what they're looking for. Obviously, he doesn't check all of them, but he does check quite a few. You know, he isn't a traditional number nine striker, which is perhaps ideally perhaps more of what Inter are looking for. But that doesn't mean he couldn't be a good fit for this team. That doesn't mean he couldn't be a good partner in attack for Lautaro Martinez. You know, it seems like Arsenal wants at least 40 million euro, which is more than Inter would like to spend, obviously, on him. But again, you just missed out on Gianluca Scamacca. You could have signed Scamacca for a cheaper price than the 40 million that Arsenal are asking for. So you kind of are putting yourself in this position if you're trying to, I don't want to say lowball, make lowball offers, but if you keep, you know, nickel and diamond things, you know, you're kind of starting to run out of options, as I said, and you could have had Scamacca for a cheaper price. So, you know, I think Balogun, again, he'd be a nice signing for this team. Options are running out. They've also been are being heavily linked to Udinese's Beto, who is a solid player. He did score 10 goals this past season for Udinese, so he's familiar with Serie A. He was able to hit double-figure goals. I do think Beto is a good player, but it seems like Udinese are asking for around 30 million euro, and if you ask me, and I could be proven wrong in time, to me that seems like a high price tag for Beto. I would rather see Inter go out and spend 10 million more and bring in Florian Balogun if they're able to get him for 40 million from Arsenal, rather than see them sink 30 million into signing Beto from Udinese. But that's just my opinion. So yeah, I definitely would buy this one. I think Florian Balogun would be a very good signing for Inter if they could bring him in this summer. So that will do it for the 85th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. A special thank you to Gio Cozzolino for taking his time to join me on this episode. Once again, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That'd be greatly appreciated to help us grow. Feel free to spread the word of the Calcio Corner podcast to any friends or family members that you think would enjoy a Calcio-centric podcast. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.